Then there are also these other incredible examples of bad, of hot takes and bad faith readings. There are all these YouTube film critics who are obviously much more comfortable talking about Avengers Endgame or or Free Guy. But then when they're confronted with the zone of interest, they don't know exactly how to talk about it. So one of the worst things that I did while getting ready for the show was to search the zone of interest review on YouTube. And I got all these incredible thumbnails with the reviewers making like either a serious face or a soy face. And the text would be stuff like, "What did I just watch?" with a question mark. Or there was one that said, "Forgive evil." And the guy was going, "Oh," like making a "oh" face. And like, it's like, "What did you get that? How did you possibly get that this movie's about forgiving evil?" One of the screen caps is a, it said the zone of interest explained, and it had a photo of the family in the garden, and you see the greenhouse in the background. And then there was this big red arrow pointing to the wall and the words Auschwitz, so that we would understand that the family lived next door to the death camp.
I love the thought of someone sitting through the entire film, not knowing what the sounds were, and immediately running to YouTube to try to figure out what it was. And I'm thinking, oh my God.
One Letterboxd review that was brought to my attention called it "Yassified Holocaust."
That's almost a good review, but not for the reason they think. Yeah. It gets back to the cottagecore idea.
Yeah. There was another review that I read where the guy said that the movie suffered because it had unlikable characters and nobody to root for. There was another review where the guy started by saying, "And you think your neighbors are bad? Try living next to Auschwitz." It's like this kind of tone is perfectly good to talk about the latest Marvel movie, but like,
yeah,
you got to check yourself, dude. If this is what you're going forward with to talk about the zone of interest, here's another one. This is I'm not saying their names to protect the innocent. So here's another one. This is a tweet. "Saw the zone of interest in the cinema yesterday. Question: when two empty beds were shown, why were they made up in the Anglo-American way with blanket folded over sheet and rectangular pillow, and not the German way with square white duvet and pillow and no blanket?" It's like, that's your takeaway, dude? Like that, like, come on, the Germans never made the beds like that. What else is this movie getting wrong? Here's the one. This is a tweet from a guy who was on his phone tweeting during a screening. "OMG, I am halfway through hashtag zone of interest, and the whole theater is so bored. I figured A24 and all the Oscar noms must mean something. The screen just turned red, like something was finally going to happen, and nope." Does it ever get somewhere, or should we leave? I would say, get the fuck out, if I was sitting next to him and he was tweeting during the movie.
I'm also intrigued by the idea that he thought that the fact that the screen had dissolved to red meant the action was about to kick off. Has there ever been a movie in which that happens? It's like 30 seconds of a blank red screen means we're going to get Captain Marvel.
He's like, oh, here we go.
Oh, yes.
Let's go.
It's going to be like Derek Jarman's Blue.
This is a Twitter thread that jumped out at me. I've connected the tweets. It said, "Finally got to see the zone of interest, but I found it shallow and vulgar in the extreme. All its supposed restraint does is obscure the perversity of applying movie monster logic to the Holocaust. It's scarier if you don't see it. It's obvious why critics loved this. They get to indirectly gawk at human misery while the film pats them on the back for acknowledging the disgusting spectacle unfolding before them. At least all the 70s Nazi exploitation stuff didn't hide its crassness behind these trite art house affectations. This is the work of a man in love with his supposed brilliance." You have to wonder what is going through these people's minds.
The idea that the zone of interest is allowing people to indulge in their perverse, like, desire to see violence perpetrated onto the other, when it's a movie which doesn't show you anything.
Yeah, it shows you everything in terms of sound, but nothing in terms of picture. Media literacy is so in the toilet now that people are like, I don't get it. It didn't happen in front of me, so I'm not sure whether it happened. But like saying that the Glazer was applying movie monster logic to the Holocaust.
Yeah.
The jump scare.
That tweet is almost getting at something, a criticism you can make of a lot of mainstream Holocaust cinema, in that it applies this conventional logic of tension and the release of tension to this historical violence in a way which is distasteful. Mm-hmm. And this was Michael Haneke's famous criticism of Schindler's List, and the shower scene in Schindler's List was that it was fundamentally immoral to create a suspense sequence from Jews being led to the gas chamber, and even more so to then release that tension and show the Jews in the chamber actually sort of rejoicing in the fact that they were momentarily alive, still in the gas chamber, but still alive for now. But that's an issue that I think the Zone of Interest very consciously works around and reflects on, because it denies any kind of visual pleasure. It only gives us the sound. And I think that when we're watching, we almost have an ingrained desire to match the sound with images. But because Glazer denies us the images, we reflect on that desire and on that perverse voyeuristic impulse. So I think that the film is doing the complete opposite of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I read a review that said, you know, how come they didn't show the Haas family being arrested? And how come they didn't show Haas being tried and executed? It's like, why do you want to see somebody die so badly? Like, that kind of thinking is also compartmentalization.
Yeah.
And it's like, I want to see some deaths.
Yeah.
This is a movie about the Holocaust. Show me a death or two, at least.
Why didn't the Haas get kicked in the balls by a 10-year-old boy at the end? And then David Bowie starts playing.
Oh, my God.